Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. Today we will focus on chapter 37 of Sefer Yirmiyahu, which returns to narrate the prophet's experiences during the following years of the Judean kingdom under the reign of Tzidkiyahu, who was appointed as regent by Nebuchadnezzar as a sworn vassal of the Babylonian Empire. This weak-willed monarch was easily manipulated by various advisors and competing factions, and as a result, his behavior proves to be inconsistent. As the chapter opens, we are told in verse 2, "Velo shamahu ve'avadav ve'ama'aretz el divrei Hashem asher diber beyad Yirmiyahu hanavi." Neither he, nor his attendants, nor the people of the land paid any attention to the words that Hashem had spoken through Yirmiyahu, the prophet. Tzidkiyahu had allowed idolatrous practices that his predecessors introduced to flourish in the country, such that moral decadence and institutional corruption were rampant throughout Mamlechet Yehuda. But when most of the kingdom had already been vanquished, and the fortresses on the outskirts were already destroyed by the Chaldean armies, and the troops were surrounding the capital city, Tzidkiyahu began to have second thoughts about his foolhardy pact to rebel against the Babylonian overlords. When the going got tough, he began to hedge his bets. So he freed Yirmiyahu, who had been incarcerated to prevent his preaching. And advising surrender to Babylonia. He then banned enslavement of Hebrew men and women, as we read in chapter 34. As he entertained thoughts of repentance, he sent two emissaries to Yirmiyahu, begging him to intervene and plead with Hashem on their behalf, as indicated in verse 3. Vayishlach ha-melech Tzidkiyahu et Yehuchal ben Shlemaya ve'et Tzfanya ben Maaseya ha-Kohen el Yirmiyahu ha-Navi lemor hitpalnelna be'adenu el Hashem Elokeinu. The two emissaries represented opposing factions within the kingdom. In chapter 29, we heard of Tzfanya the Kohen, who was an ally of Yirmiyahu and had previously warned him of the brewing conspiracy to rebel against Babylonia. The rebellious factions was represented by Yehuchel, who will later try to have Yirmiyahu killed. It is curious that Tzidkiyahu sent both of these men to persuade Yirmiyahu to pray for him, and reveals to what degree he vacillated between rival parties in his royal entourage. Tzidkiyahu's change of heart did not last long, and his repentance dissipated as soon as the siege was temporarily lifted, as we read in verse 5. V'chel paro yatza mimitzrayim, v'yishmeu ha-kasdim ha-tzarim al Yerushalayim et shimam, v'yalu me'al Yerushalayim. Pharaoh's army had marched out of Egypt, and when the Babylonians who were besieging Jerusalem heard the report about them, they withdrew from Jerusalem. So Tzidkiyahu quickly reverted, and in the first opportunity that presented itself, he resumed his doomed insurrection plans. Just as Tzidkiyahu is about to join the Egyptian attack against the Babylonian troops, Hashem sends the prophet to warn this fickle monarch, as indicated in verses 7 through 8. Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, ko tomru el melech Yehuda, ha-sholeach etchem elai ledorsheni. Hine echel paro ha-yotze lachem le'ezra, shav le'arzo Mitzrayim. Ve'shavu ha-kasdim ve'nilchemu al ha'ir hazot u'lechaduha, ve'srafuha ba'esh. This is what Hashem, the God of Israel, says. Tell the king of Yehuda, who sent you to inquire of me, Pharaoh's army, which has marched out to support you, will go back to its own land, to Egypt. Then the Babylonians will return and attack this city. They will capture it and burn it down. He warned that the reprieve in the siege is only temporary, and the Egyptian onslaught is doomed, as reiterated in verses 9 through 10. Ko amar Hashem, al tasiu nafshotechem lemor haloch yelchechu me'aleinu akasdim, ki lo yelechu. Ki im hiketem kol chel hakasdim hanilchamim itchem, ונשארו בם אנשים מדוכרים, איש באוהלו, יקומו ושרפו את העיר הזאת באש. This is what Hashem says. Do not deceive yourself thinking the Babylonians will surely leave us. They will not, even if you were to defeat the entire Babylonian army that is attacking you, and only wounded men were left in their tents, they would come out and burn this city down. Then, recognizing that this message would arouse the anger of the rebellious faction, Yirmiyahu took advantage of the lifted siege to escape the city of Yerushalayim. He fled to hide among the people in the outskirts, perhaps among his own kinsmen. However, he was espied and charged with false prophecy and traitorous incitement, leading to his arrest, as described in verses 15 through 16. ויקצפו השרים על ירמיהו, ויקו אותו, ונתנו אותו בית האסור, בית יונתן הסופר, כי אותו עשו לבית כלא. כי בא ירמיהו אל בית הבור ואל החנויות, וישב שם ירמיהו ימים רבים. The officials were angry with Yirmiyahu. They beat him and had him imprisoned in the house of Yonatan the scribe, which they had made into a prison. Yirmiyahu was then put into a vaulted cell in a dungeon, where he remained a long time. Yirmiyahu was kept in an underground dungeon until the Chaldeans returned to renew the siege of Yerushalayim. As Yerushalayim was being starved, with no food provisions coming in and water reserves drying up, the fickle king again called for the prophet, as related in verses 17 through 20. וישלח המלך צדקיהו, ויקחהו, וישאלהו המלך בביתו, בסתר. ויאמר, היש דבר מאת השם? ויאמר ירמיהו, יש. ויאמר, ביד מלך בבל תנתן. ויאמר ירמיהו אל המלך צדקיהו, מה חטאתי לך ולעבדיך ולעם הזה, כי נתתם אותי אל בית הכלא? ואיו נביאיכם אשר ניבו לכם, לאמור לא יבוא מלך בבל עליכם ועל הארץ הזאת. ואתה שמענה אדוני המלך, תיפול נתחנתי לפניך, ואל תשיבני בית יונתן הסופר, ולא עמוד שם. Then King Zedekiah sent for him and had him brought to the palace, where he asked him privately, Is there any word from Hashem? He replied, You will be delivered into the hands of the king of Babylonia. And then Yirmiyahu added and said to King Zedekiah, What crime have I committed against you or your attendants or this people that you have put me in prison? Where are your prophets who prophesy to you that the king of Babylonia will not attack you or this land? But now, my lord, the king, please listen. Please accept my petition before you. Do not send me back to the house of Yonatan, the scribe, or I will die there. From Yirmiyahu's pleas, we can understand that his imprisonment in the cistern of Yonatan's house entailed a slow death. Apparently, this was an improvised prison and had served as a cistern that was customarily built underneath the houses of Yerushalayim to collect rainwater. When the water was used up, those vaulted, windowless cellars were converted into holding pens for enemies, where they were often deprived of food or proper sanitation. So Zedekiah grants Yirmiyahu a lame reprieve, again hedging his bets, and has him incarcerated again in the palace prison's courtyard, as described in the closing verse.
ויצווה המלך צדקיהו ויפקדו את ירמיהו בחצר המטרה, ונתן לו כיכר לחם ליום מחוץ האופים, עד תום כל הלחם מן העיר, וישב ירמיהו בחצר המטרה. King Zedekiah then gave orders for Yirmiyahu to be placed in the courtyard of the palace guard and given a loaf of bread from the baker's courtyard each day until all the bread in the city was gone. So Yirmiyahu remained in the courtyard of the guard. In the courtyard adjacent to the palace, Yirmiyahu was exposed to the elements, the blazing sun by day and the chill by night, but he could move around and communicate with fellow Jews, prisoners and guards, and receive some visitors. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilu Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.